Broomfield, Mr. Truitt.
May it please the court, the issue before this court is whether Officer Fortner of the Marion City Police Department lawfully exercised his power pursuant to Terry versus Ohio when, after observing Mr. Broomfield walking westbound on 26th Street in Marion, Indiana, he turned his police car around, shined a spotlight on the appellant, and ordered him to stop. It is Broomfield's position that he did not act lawfully. And in support of that, Supreme Court case law has held that before a police officer may lawfully stop a citizen to investigate a suspicion, he must have a reasonable suspicion grounded on specific and articulable facts that the person encountered was involved in or is wanted in connection of a crime. There must be some kind of objective justification, some degree of suspicion that attaches to a person that a particular crime or a criminal act had occurred. The defendant believes that the decision of this court in United States versus Davis covers this case better than perhaps any other case. And in that case, the Springfield Police Department received a report that a gold Saturn automobile had been stolen by the owner's son. And in the opinion, it sets forth data as to how many gold Saturns had been registered in that county. And at least impliedly held that it would be illegal to stop any or all gold Saturn that the police officer encountered in the city of Springfield, Illinois. Judge Easterbrook, who wrote the opinion
it's
for the majority,
quite irrelevant who writes the opinions of this court.
Who writes the opinions for this court? Noted that there were several extras, several observable factors that made or supplied the reasonable suspicion which authorized the police to stop this particular gold Saturn. That the category gold Saturn was not sufficient, that there was a temporary plate that was attached to the vehicle with masking tape. There was furtive movement of both the driver and the passenger. And there
back
was
to a question of definition again.
Surreptitious.
And there was no license plate. And so it was these extra factors that supplied probable cause.
You don't need probable cause for.
Well, I'm sorry. Reasonable suspicion. I misspoke. In this case, information was received by.
But there weren't a lot of people around, right? It's not as if they're not like a dragnet and they're rounding up everybody on the street. It's late at night, or it's quiet streets. There are just a couple of people around. Doesn't it make sense to stop those people and ask them a few questions?
I believe that it does not, Your Honor. I believe that there has to be more facts.
Why? What's the big deal? They're just stopping them and asking them a question.
The big deal is that I don't think the Fourth Amendment authorizes
why
it.
Why
I don't
not? That's a conclusion. That's not. What is the outrage to personal liberty to be stopped because there's been a crime in the vicinity? What if they stop and just say, have you seen anybody? Is that illegal? Can you sue them?
This court has long held that consensual
I'd
encounters.
Like your answer.
My answer is
I don't see the common sense of it.
Well.
Maybe that's wrong.
I think it is because I'm not sure if the
It is wrong. Okay, fine.
I don't think the Fourth Amendment
of senseless law, right?
I don't think it test is whether it makes sense. I think
right. It doesn't. Right. We're not interested in sense. Right. We're in an artificial world. Right.
In some instances, we have policies, protections. If you want to have the most effective crime detection system, then you do away with the Fourth Amendment. You do away with the Fifth Amendment. Because that certainly has been
placed in the other extreme. The question is what the Fourth Amendment means in a situation where police, there's a crime in the vicinity, they see a couple of people, probably one of them is the criminal, they think, or has information, or saw someone, acting furtively, so they stop the person and say, I want to ask you a couple of questions. And at that point, he sees the gun, but I don't understand. I mean, there's sort of the full stop where you're patted down. I understand why people are bashful about that. But the initial stop, we just say to someone, look, stop, I have to ask you a question. Well, what's wrong with that?
I believe that is not the hallmark of a free society. I believe...
The Supreme Court has said police can go up to anybody and ask him questions.
That's correct.
But that's not...
A consensual
stop, a search, nothing. You can always go up to somebody and say, I'd like to ask you some questions. And that always entails a stop of at least long enough to hear the policeman open his mouth. Was there anything more than that here? Cop comes up to him, says, stop, I'd like to ask you a question. And at that point, the sag and the glint are kind of a giveaway.
That's correct. Once he is in that position...
And it's all over. There's no pat down, no search. Doesn't seem to me we ever get beyond the point that the Supreme Court says one can reach with no cause at all.
But this court, the Supreme Court, and this court have clearly reiterated that to make a formalized stop, and I believe this was a formalized stop...
What's a formalized stop?
Well, the spotlight was on. It's not somebody walking down the street. The police car passed him, made a U-turn, came back, shown the spotlight on him. He was ordered to stop. He complied with the stop, and the officer approached him. I believe that's a different situation, and that's a situation that... The Terry
court directed. So if there had been no spotlight, what? I don't understand.
Well,
if you were a policeman,
this court has had cases, and I don't
you
have...
You were a policeman, how would you have approached this person? Or do you think it was improper to approach him at all?
I think it's improper to approach him at all.
No, but that's wrong, right? That's just...
Well, I guess
question.
I don't believe that it's wrong.
You don't
wrong.
Think a police can ask a person a question on the street? Say I'd like to ask you a question. They can't do that.
Oh yes.
Well, so is that what? So, the policeman could have gotten out of his car, walked up to this fellow, and said, "I'd like to ask you a question." Would that be all right?
No. Then how do we fit in articulable?
No. Answer my question. Yes or no?
I believe the case law has said that the police officer can execute a consensual. Encounter.
You don't approve of that.
Well, I have a hard time squaring it with Terry versus Ohio. And the cases
maybe
that follow.
Maybe what that tells you is that Terry is wrong. Right? The Supreme Court has said this more times than you can count. And if you think that can't be squared with Terry, then it's Terry that's the odd case out.
But Terry is the one that created
the... Why should we say that one 1968 case invalidates the entire course of jurisprudence of the last 37 years?
But Terry was created as an exception to the probable cause.
It's not an exception to anything. What the Fourth Amendment says is that searches and seizures shall be reasonable. Terry is an effort to define one element of reasonableness. But, of course, the point of the Supreme Court's stop and ask cases is that stopping somebody in order to ask a question, getting in his way and asking a question, is not itself either a search or seizure. It may turn into a search or seizure if the person says, no, I don't want to talk to you, and the cop then impedes his progress. But until then, it's not a search or seizure at all.
In this case, The record states that he was clearly ordered to stop. And it's our opinion that that was a stop, and that's governed by the Fourth Amendment. And that in this case, there was lack of sufficient supporting data to justify this officer from stopping this individual on 7-something in the evening, though it was dark, and approaching him with spotlight on.
My okay. Time. Thank you, Mr. Truitt.
Thank
Ms.
you,
King.
May it please the court, Levita Morris King on behalf of the appellee. I was not the trial counsel below. I believe that Terry versus Ohio is exactly what this case stands for. Here there was an investigatory detention of the defendant, Broomfield. Officer Fortner, armed with the information provided by the police dispatch, knew that there was a lone black male on foot wearing dark clothing, a ski mask.
Suppose police come up to somebody in a railroad station and say, would you stop for a minute while we ask you a question? Has a seizure been made?
No, Your Honor. That's an investigatory detention if the facts indicate that the officer is looking for some type of information.
I don't understand what an investigatory detention is. It's more police jargon. Doesn't correspond to any of my categories of the Fourth Amendment.
It is not a search, Your Honor. It is not a seizure. It gives an opportunity for the officer to confirm or dispel information.
Know how, maybe I've just completely lost touch of the language, but if somebody is being detained, he has certainly been seized. Is there some category of non-seizure detention, or is this all just so turned into jargon that nobody can describe in English what's going on?
It's a brief investigatory detention.
Did he tell him to... So this fellow, so Broomfield was walking. So did the officer tell him stop or what? What did he say?
Yes, he did, Your Honor. And I believe he indicated, you need to stop right there for me real quick, is I believe what his words were. And so the defendant, the appellant, complied with the officer's request. Upon stopping, the officer observed that the appellant had his hands in his pocket.
Yes, now I understand what happened after that. Yeah.
And so when he asked the appellant to remove his hands, he noticed that the pocket
right, now
of the jacket...
Yeah, we know that. Now... Is it correct that during this effort to find the robber, they saw only three pedestrians?
That is correct. In this area...
So did they stop all of them?
No, all were not stopped. In fact...
Why did they pick out this fellow?
This particular defendant matched the description that was put out by the police.
Well, oh, the others didn't?
Well, Detective or Captain Artiste, I believe he indicated that the second individual that he saw did not match the description.
And the third? Or isn't there any evidence?
Well, there were three individuals, and by the record, Your Honor, it is possible that the first individual that Captain Artiste saw and the individual that Officer Fortner saw could have been the same individual, although the record does not state that. That is a reasonable inference that could be made here. But what we have are, by what the record indicates, are three individuals.
Well, what if there are 10 people who fitted the description? The description was pretty general. So would they be entitled to stop all 10?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that the description was pretty specific.
No, but that's not my question. I don't care what you think about the description. If 10 people fit the description, can the police stop all 10?
Yes, Your Honor. If they fit that description, yes, they can.
What if there are 100? What if the description is just a man? And they go around, and there are 100 men within, a quarter mile or something. within walking distance from after the trial. Can they stop all 100?
Your Honor, when I'm looking at the facts of this specific case, there are only three.
I know you are, but I'm not, right? So
yes,
I'm asking you what
Judge Posner is looking at the facts of Lankford against Gelston, a very famous case on which the government might have a view. It's a case that used to be viewed as a paragon of civil rights and is now widely viewed as wrongly decided. But what does the United States think about that, whether it's called Lankford or not?
Tell them it's wrongfully decided. Go ahead. He already had what he had.
Your Honor, I still would have to draw to the facts of this particular case, and I understand the court's question, but my attention is directed to the facts of this particular case, and that is, based upon the description given, the officers would have been justified in stopping all three individuals, but again, they did not. And that is because one of the individuals did not match the description. The court also recognizes, I believe, that the least intrusive means of detention were exhibited in this particular case. Officer Fortner did not draw his weapon, and in fact, he did not even pat the defendant down once when he initially encountered him. It was not until he saw the silver portion of the firearm that he recognized that the defendant was armed, and there we go into the fact that that heightened his suspicion, and then he asked further questions. That's all I have at this time, Your Honor. I would ask that this court affirm the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. King. Mr. Truitt, how much time is he? No time. Do you have anything further? You'd like a minute to rebut?
I think we
covered everything. Okay. And you were appointed, were you not? You were appointed.
I'm a defender.
You're a defender. Yes. Well, we thank the defenders for their efforts on behalf of their clients. Okay, court will be at recess.